And listen, I'm gonna give you a quiz. And if you fail, I'm gonna be mad at every single one of y'all, especially because I don't see anyone new in this room, okay? So what is Three Trails about? What is our vision? What's our mission statement? What do we always say? Oh, thank you, Terry, for answering that question. But I got a whole church here. Y'all know it's disciples making disciples in their community. I believe that we've done a very good job of learning that is what is our heart. And I'm excited to see what 2020 brings.
I am. You know, a couple years ago, I was reading this book. And it was with a church planner who was starting churches in different parts of the world. And he said this. If someone came to your church who had no church background, they didn't know who Jesus was, they didn't know anything. They come to your church, they sing your songs, they're greeted by your greeters, they do everything, they hear your sermon, they do all that, and they leave. And someone would ask them, based on what you experienced, what do you think the founder of the church said the mission of that church was? Was it, man, have great worship? Was it, oh, man, have a great experience? Man, have a great sermon? Because in Matthew 28, Jesus didn't say that. He didn't say, hey, man, I wish you had, you know, go and have great seats. Go and have a great time. He didn't even say, go and be lifted up. He said the mission of the church was what? Go and make disciples. And not just disciples who look like you, but all nations. And that means ethnic groups. You know, our nations is full of ethnic groups. And it's not just race, but it's age. It's social economic status. Our world has so many different cultures that desperately need Jesus. And it is our job as a church to go do that. And so that's one of the things we always think about. That's why we have our mission statement. We weren't trying to be creative. We just went back to the Bible and said, God, what do you want us to do? Because at the end of the day, if we're not doing who we say Jesus is, we say he's the king, and we're not doing what he told us to do, it doesn't matter what we accomplished, we failed, right?
Amen.
And so that's what's so important for our church. And so our vision 2020, not super creative, but I want every single one of us to answer, how am I discipling my community? Courtney put it beautifully. He has people in his community that we will never see. And one day he's going to go before God and he's going to go, all right, Courtney, all right, Don, all right, Terry, how did you disciple your family? How did you disciple the people you interacted with at the gas station? How did you interact and lead people or point people to Jesus that you worked with, that you worked out with, that you lived next to? And so our job as a church is to get you guys to, and to get us, to answer that question every day. How am I being a disciple? So we talked about if someone would come to our church and we would ask them, what's the mission of the church? Imagine if someone walked with you. They left as you left this church and they stayed with you for a full week. They saw how you drive. Hopefully they get there alive, right? They see how you treat the waiter or waitress when the food doesn't come on time or they get your order wrong or right.
Your wife.
How you order your wife?
No, how you treat your wife.
Okay, how you treat your wife. Yes, yes. How you treat your wife, how you treat your children, all of those things. And then we would ask them, based on what you saw from my life this week, what did Jesus, my commander, tell me to go do? Did he tell me to live for myself? Did he say, go have it your way? Did he say, oh, you lived by the Bible? Did you have a great knowledge? Hopefully all of us would answer that and go. Our goal would be, if someone walked through with us every single day, that their faith is authentic. That it is what we say we are on Saturday. Because we're all about the Monday through Saturday, not just the Sunday morning where we put on our Sunday best. I know my Sunday best is not the best. But we put our foot on one day at a time, living for Jesus. And so, our vision 2020, if you go back to Matthew 28, and it'll probably be our mission statement every single year. Because Jesus said, he came to them, and this is so important, he says, all authority. Okay, I don't know about you, but if you predict your own death and your own resurrection, and I'm talking to you, whatever you tell me is the gospel truth, right? Amen. Jesus is saying, hey guys, listen, you see my scars, you saw me die, you saw me resurrect, you see me talking to you, go do this, okay? All authority. He says, it's been given to me on heaven and on earth. You go. I'm going to send you. That's the apostle. I'm sending you to what? Make disciples. Just reproduce what I did in you. To who? Every ethnic group. Guys, the reason why God has led us to this community is that there are so many different ethnic groups. In this school alone, and I know we talk about this a lot, there are 31 different nationalities in this school. You know, in Revelation 5, it talks about that global choir praising Jesus. How cool would it be, because we came here and made disciples, we added a couple of different voices and languages to that choir. Like, imagine that. They're singing Jesus because we were obedient. That, I don't know about you, but that makes me excited. He says, we baptize them, and we're teaching them to observe everything that we've been commanded. Here's the thing. You can't disciple and reproduce what you're not. He says, what I commanded you. So this year, we're going to focus on a lot on, are you being a disciple? Because we can fill these seats, and we can do all these things, but if we ourselves are not disciples, if I'm not a disciple, I'm a fake. And all we reproduce is fake people. Amen. I don't want that. I want to reproduce Jesus because of who he is. And then I love this last part. He says, everything I command you, and remember, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Guys, I know it's overstated. People say it so many times. But our religion is not just a religion. It is a relationship. We are pointing people to a living Savior who wants a day-to-day relationship with you. No other religion offers that. It can offer them rules. It can offer them regulations. But it cannot offer them an intimate relationship with a God who died for them.
Amen.
So here are our goals.
So the first one there, encourage our church family to grow in their relationship with God by reading through the gospel by Easter. And we are going to have a reading plan for you guys to follow along prior to the services. Or let's say you come and you listen to the service and you want to review what you heard or learned that day. And then I want to tag on to something that he said, like, how many relationships have you had with anybody where you don't communicate with them? Where you don't talk to them, you don't know what's going on in their mind, that's not really a good relationship. So it kind of goes back to him like living it out. Like, we can say we love Jesus, but if we're never in Jesus, if we're never in the Word, if we're never communicating, if we're never hearing what he has to say to us, then are we really having a relationship with them? We got to know where he's at. And I promise you, if you open the Word of God daily, I don't care if you open it once. I promise you, once a week, you will get something. God will give you something in the Word of God that you can take with you. And I promise you, your relationship will start moving forward. It will make a difference. So we don't just hand these out for you to put them in your Bible and not pay attention to them. This is meat and potatoes. It's the Word of God. And it'll help you follow where we're going.
Yeah, so starting next week, we're going to be going through the Gospels, and we're going to be talking about who is Jesus. So we're going to be talking about and pointing people to him. We're going to talk about how he is the Son of God. We're going to talk about how he was a rabbi. We're going to talk about how he's our advocate. He's our defense attorney. And we're going to talk about last that he's the King of Kings. But here's the thing. If you notice that first step, it says encourage our church. You know, the Bible says over and over, the reason why we gather is to encourage one another. If you show up and the only person who exercises their faith that day is me or the speaker, we have failed the church.
Amen.
That's why we have the FDA moment. Now, I know for a lot of you, I'm going to speak to our introverts, so I'm going to look at an extrovert so no one knows I'm picking on them. Right, Dad? All right, so my extrovert, we will never call you out. So if you're like, oh goodness, I hope they never call me. We're not. You're safe here.
Mostly.
We're not going to call you out. But here's the thing, this is our opportunity, not to shine, not to let people see how godly we are. But here's the thing, as you walk through your week and you're reading through Mark, and we give you a time to say, hey, what has God taught you? You have a different life and perspective than me. And that's an opportunity for our church to hear it from you and go, wow, I never would have took it that way. Or man, that's so cool. If it is a relationship, I need to hear from your relationship with God just as much as you're going to hear it from mine. Our second goal, we want to equip our church family to reach their community by launching the three trails of discipleship after Easter. Now, in your Division 2020, you flip it. Most of you, when you started with us, We did the three trails for the first year. And you want to call it our discipleship program. But what it is if you read through the New Testament, Jesus is very clear. He calls people to follow him. When you're following him, you're his disciple. And as you're becoming his disciple, he sends you on a mission. And Courtney did a good job of describing the FDA. And everything we talk about is about follower, disciple, apostle. And so we're going to, after Easter, we're probably going to have a class after service. We're going to do it in our midweek gatherings. We want to teach you the different things. And you can read through this, so I just won't read it for you. But these are tools that will help you go, okay, God made me to reign. What does that look like? God has made me to become more like him. What does that look like? And then lastly, I'm made to reproduce and pass it on to somebody else. What does that look like? Because I think sometimes we trivialize our faith and we boil it down to one thing. Did I share the gospel this week? Guys, our faith is so much more than that. It's, did you show your faith to your kids? Did you teach someone something that you've been through that someone else hasn't been through, and you love on them through that? That is what this is all about. And so that's our second goal.
Which, just to add to that, I mean, I feel like writing your legacy out. I don't know if you guys ever write goals. I'm not a big New Year's resolution. Because I know I'm going to fail, so I don't really do that. Actually, I try to start like in November somewhere to help me get to a place where I'm kind of there already by January 1st. But I don't know if you've tried writing out your goals. I don't know if you do that, it helps you get to the place where you need to be. So seeing what your legacy is, what you want your legacy to be, when you go through 2020, if you've written that down, it kind of helps give you some momentum to get there. All these tools that we're giving you, they're good, but they're only good if we use them. If it's just Blake and I up here running our mouths and writing stuff down, it's no good. And I know, I don't mean that, I know my family. I know you guys do it too. Right, we're preaching to the choir, but I just mean they're awesome tools. So anyway, number three, engage our community through social media. This is so powerful, and we'll talk about finances at the end today, but we're investing a lot in this. And the reason is because a lot of churches don't do that. They have, and I'm not knocking other churches, but they have like social ice cream socials, and we've gained a lot from block parties and things like that. But think about how much we use social media, right? And then think about how the world outside thinks about the church in here. Some people are not ever going to walk into this building. They're just not going to do it because they already have an idea of who we are, unfortunately. People have told them how bad they are, and that pretty much made them feel unwelcome. But in the privacy of my own home, I can go to Three Trails website, or I can go to the YouTube channel that we're going to do, or I can go to Facebook or Instagram, and I can check these people out to see what they're really about. And so that way, I don't have to. We want people to realize that they don't have to check their brain at the door. They don't have our faith is real. There's history to back it up, and I promise you, if you live by the principles and the morals of the Bible, it will change your life. So we don't want people to have to check their brain at the door. We're going to give them an avenue, even if they won't come visit us, to do that. We also, we are an imperfect community. Can I get an amen? We're an imperfect community, right? Like, all of us in here have been through some things. All of us have different lifestyle changes. All of us have, I mean, we've been through, there's so many different avenues in this room right now. And we want people to understand, hey, if you have been an alcoholic before, this is the place for you.
Or you are an alcoholic. This is the place for you.
If you are an adulterer, what you name it, you're welcome here. So we want to be able to show that to them through these avenues. And then lastly, we're going to do we are your community. And you see that your kids go to Red Bridge, my children at Center, and different schools in the area. We're part of this community. We're not somebody that comes in, tries to play in a church, and then we go back to where we came from. No, we're here. We're here, and we're doing life with you, so that's very important. And I'm excited about the last part about social media, because we're doing a YouTube channel, and it's called At the Dinner Table. And let me tell you something. How many life changes have you had at the dinner table? Like, if I don't know how many people do it, but we've just recently started doing more and more in our family, and it's so effective because you hear people's hearts, and you learn things about them that you didn't know. Now imagine You bring someone to your dinner table. Now, if you come to our house, my wife can get down in the kitchen. So you're going to like whatever it is she serves. But as a African-American family, you might get some fried chicken. And you might not be used to fried chicken. But then, you know, that's something that's different. It's a different culture. You're like, man, I kind of like that. Then you might see how my kids act versus some other culture. And you're like, I didn't know they did that. So you learn and you love and you grow together. And then when you see that person that doesn't look like you, but they've been at your dinner table, you go, wait, no, those guys, it's not what you think. You actually learn people and you learn to exist with them and you learn to love with them. So we want people, and we're going to talk about some stuff that's going to be pretty hard.
So what's it going to look like? We've been brainstorming that him and I will literally sit down. And we have so many conversations that we have had just by interacting with different people. And so we're just going to introduce or let people kind of come to our conversations. And sometimes we'll have, because it's at the dinner table, we'll have different meals. Like our first one, we've already talked about that we're going to have Big T's barbecue there.
I'm so upset about that.
When we first met and he was interning, I took him there, and in his mind he goes, taking the black man to the barbecue place. And I'm like, no, this is where I grew up. Literally, there's my elementary school, Dobbs. Whoop, whoop. And this is, and I walk in, and Kenny's the guy who cuts the meat, and you want to make sure it's Kenny. And we walk in, and we talk. No, this is a place I talk all the interns because it's an amazing place. But it was one of those things that we started talking, and a couple weeks later he goes, did you just take me there because I was black? I'm like, do you think white people just take, and we just had like those conversations. And this is the thing. We want to encourage people in this YouTube channel. We want to encourage you to go, how can I make relationships with someone who thinks differently in me, not to just convert them, but to have the conversation, because you're learning to build bridges. Guys, this is a shocker. I'm not black.
What?
I know. I know. Half the time.
This whole time.
You're like, he's got light. No. So I don't see those things. I've not lived in those shoes. So when a shooting happens or someone makes a comment about Trump this and racism or Obama this, I can tell you from a white person's perspective. I can't tell you from an African-American. And so many of us already have judged the person who thinks differently than them because we don't talk to them.
Yeah.
And so that's what we want to do in that YouTube channel. And it's a tool as a church that we can just share to people and go, man, people can sit down of different ideas and different thoughts and come to a, man, I value you because you're a person. And if we believe someone's made in the image of God, we should value every single person.
Yeah, and I just want you to know that it will not be the Blake and Terry show. We're going to take opinions from several different people. I am not the naysayer on African Americans because half of me is white, so I don't get to do. But we'll have information from other people and we'll bring it to the table. So it's not just one or two opinions. We've had several knockdown dragouts between the two of us, and it's really grown us both. So it'll be an awesome opportunity.
Made fun conversations.
Yes. Yeah.
So number four, and this is so big and near to my heart, is we want to build community through serving it. So real quick, I want you to stand up if you have served in any of these following ministries. If you've been a part of our food pantry, stand up and stay standing. If you've helped at the South Kansas City block party, you can stand. If you serve weekly being a center friend, or if you've done something like that, or if you serve PTA, PTO, those kind of things, stand up. Now look around. We're already doing this. Our community knows that we're serving it. Okay? And I just want us to think through the different relationships we're made through that. What I love, too, is that when we serve as a community, it's not just we want to reflect Christ. It builds memories. Those of you who were at the food pantry when it had the flood and we thought Noah was coming back, remember that? Yeah. And people were like looking for floats and you couldn't walk through the thing. Or those of us who cleaned up at the block party and, you know, Stephanie said our hands smelled like chicken teriyaki and there was no teriyaki or chicken. All right. Those are memories that bind us as a church. I remember letting Zoe, she was like, oh, should I drive across the street? I'm like, get in my car. You get to drive to the car. Those are the things that make us a family, right? And that's why we do it. And then when people see that we're family in the community, and I remember at our block or at our pantry, they saw our guys, they saw Trent, I think it was John too, and they saw Malachi, and they're like, what are you guys, football team? Like, no, we just grown big at Three Trails.
Right.
Right?
You can sit down.
You can sit down. But it reflects our community, and that's why we do it. And we want people, as we said, our church is the community. And just look around. There's someone who looks like you here. And if they're not in here, they're serving. That's what we want. We want someone who walks in from our community going, wow, I belong. You know why I know I belong? Because I see someone here just like me.
And even more amazingly, just like heaven, they can get along. That person looks like me, but that doesn't. And look, they're chilling and hanging out. And I mean, that's a welcoming. I want to be there. I want to be part of that.
So this next year, one of the cool things that we're going to add is we're in talks right now with the PTO at Redbridge. And the Friday or Saturday after spring break, we're going to put on a block party with the school. And this is how cool it is. We're doing outreach not just as a church, but we're actually partnering with organizations that are secular, like the school. And the school's going, can you partner with us? Man, that is a dream of mine. That the community, not the safe community, just the community, it says, we value you as a church. Please partner with us. All right.
Number five. Yeah, providing community for our church family through our midweek gatherings. I'm going to add to this too, but guys, that is an awesome tool. I can't speak for the women because I haven't been to Ellen's house, but I am sure, knowing Ellen, it's going to be like a feast to begin with because she always caters like nobody's business. I mean, that is awesome. But I know, even at the church, to hear you guys cackling and going back and forth, and I mean, it was an awesome, was cackling a bad word?
I'm not a woman.
I mean, you know, loving on each other, and I'm sorry, I got some glares, huh? Giggling, I'll use giggling.
Cackling? Yeah. Like?
Did we get this on film? Can we delete that part? But they have such a good time together. And I know for a fact at Kevin's house with all of the things that there is to offer there. And listen, some people might go, oh my gosh, you mean you're giggling and you're playing pool and stuff like that? What about Jesus? Are you reading? Hey, listen.
You sure you didn't go to the ladies group?
I promise.
Okay.
But my point is, you will literally, by loving people and living and doing things with them, You're making a difference, and there's change. Like, I thought all Christians were like, oh my gosh. And then they come and they see us all burping and farting and stuff, and they're like, what? They're just like me.
And that's the ladies group again.
And that's the ladies group, yeah. So it's a great tool to use.
And again, use it as opportunities. We've made it to a point where you can bring people who don't have their faith yet, or it's not going to be something that's really scary. It's not scary to come to Kevin's house and get beat by ping pong by me, right?
That's because you haven't played
me yet. Just saying. All right, number six. We want to show our dependence on God through prayer. We are going to make a big effort this year through our prayer ministry, through our FDA moments, because here's the thing. We can have all the cool plans. We can have all of this vision. But if God is not in it, even if we succeed, what did we succeed in? Right? There's a lot of things in this earth that's successful, but God's not a part of it. So we want to show our dependence. We want to see God show up. We want to see God just do things in our life. And so right now we're going to transition.
Hold on before you do.
We're not going to transition.
We're not. Just real quick. We have done, I think, as a family, we have learned to make disciples and disciples have disciples in your community and things like that. Guys, we all know the deal. We know the answer. We know it's the Monday through Saturday. I want to challenge everyone in here. And who is your person? Like, we have talked this. If anybody asks, and you could be asleep and I ask you if disciples make disciples in your community. But my point is, who in your world have you been sharing Jesus with? You guys, we need to bring them here as well. We've been focusing on that Monday through Saturday, but there's nothing better, like you said, when someone comes in here and they see someone that doesn't look like them or someone that does look like them and they're communicating with someone else. We need to. If you look around this room right now, these are the leaders. You guys are the leaders. And it starts with you. If you're not asking someone to come with you, to join you, to be and bragging on the love that we share in this church and how we are a family and how we grow, What are we going to do? Are we doing all this for nothing? Like, you know we're about the Monday through Saturday, but guys, we got to bring people to the building. We got to get those relationships in here too, because there's nothing like worshiping together as one body. That'll change you. And there's nothing like hearing that one message. I know everybody in here probably has had that one message where that pastor said something and you were like, oh my gosh, I'm going to take that with me for the rest of my life. And it's your job. It is not Blake and I's, I mean, it is our job, but it's not just, it's our job as leaders, as this Three Trails body to make that happen.
Great, I get to follow that. Fantastic. Guys, he's so true. And that's where it becomes legit, where it's, what am I doing? And one of the things that I'm so proud of as a church, and I say this over and over again, and I don't say it lightly, the strength of our church is not the two on this stage, it's the leaders that God has given us. God Amen. Has given us some phenomenal leaders Amen. Who lead us and cast vision. So right now I'm going to have Lacey come up, and I can't wait to hear the vision of Three Trails Kids.
Where's the thingy? Do I have to stand up here?
You can do whatever you want.
I don't want to. I don't want to stand up there. All right, so for those of you that haven't met me, I'm Lacey, and I'm the Children's Ministry Director here at Three Trails. A little background just for me so that you can see kind of where my heart is that I was saved as a child but did not find what that meant until I was in my early 20s. So it's my goal that no kid has to do that. And I want to take a minute and just brag on our kids because they're pretty amazing. They are rocking it. They're showing up at the food pantry and serving. They are back there answering questions. They are on fire. And you're going to see that a lot of what I am going to go over is going to sound like the things that Blake and Terry just went over. There's a reason for that. So the vision that I have for the Three Trails kids in 2020 is that they will be equipped with the tools needed to disciple in their community. So the way that I picture this, I'm a very visual person, and I picture it as each of these kids has a toolbox, and each week the teachers are giving them tools to put in that box. They might not use those tools for 5 years, 10 years, maybe they'll use them tomorrow. We don't know. But the honest part is that when those conversations come up in their lives, they're prepared. We've already filled that toolbox, and they say, hey, I know about this. I can talk about this. I know what that means. So that's what I'm saying. I'm giving them those tools so that when an opportunity comes for them to disciple someone at school, at soccer, at scouts, wherever they're in their life, they know how to do that because we've already taught them. All right, so my goals. Weekly, some of these are still the same, but weekly, one or more kids are going to share about a way that they were a disciple making disciples in the last week. So that's how we start back there. They do it in here. Some kids that go here are really not shy, and they really like to talk. I don't know whose parents those are. But they always have an opportunity to share in here. But let's be honest, it's scary. It's scary for little kids to share in front of a bunch of grown-ups. And so we share again back there. And they know that I expect them to have something to tell at least me. If they don't want to share in front of the group, that's fine. But they need to be able to tell one grown-up. And you know what? I'm going to tell you that when they're kids, sometimes it's going to be I shared with my brother. Because if you're a parent, you know, that's kind of a big deal. So that's how they showed the love of Christ. They were nice to their brother because it doesn't happen very often. Let's be honest. They're learning, and that's where they're at right now. And really, those are the people they're in community with the most, is their brothers and their sisters and their mom and dad and the kids at school. So sometimes it looks different for them. I mean, you know, if I showed up and said I was nice to my brother this week, you guys would be like, Lacey, come on. You got something better than that. But when you're 5, 6, 7, that's a big deal. It's a big deal. That's what their world is right now. Number two, the Three Trails Kids has enough volunteers that no one has to serve weekly. This is a big one for me. I don't want anyone to have to be back there every single week and never get in here. Then they're not getting the tools that they need for the week. They're not getting filled up to go out and be a disciple because they're just pouring into our kids. And you can only pour so much before your cup is empty. So it's very important to me that our teachers get to be in here at least every other week. So that's a goal, and it's one that we're very, very, very close to. So that's my heart on that. Number three, kids are able to share one way they will be a disciple this week. So that you might be thinking, we already talked about that, but we didn't. Number one is, how were you a disciple? Number three is, how are you going to be a disciple? So as you leave this building today, what are you going to do this week to show the love of God of someone in your life? What are you going to do when you get back to school tomorrow? You've been gone for 2 weeks. What are you going to do? And then I know what to follow up, or their teacher knows what to follow up on them with next week. Hey, did you do that? Did you talk to that person at soccer that you said you were going to talk to? Did you talk to that friend at school that doesn't have any friends? We have a way to connect with them because they're telling us their life. Number four, the Three Trail Kids volunteers and teachers understand the vision of equipping the kids to live on mission and helping them to understand what that will look like in their lives now. So this is just that the teachers understand what I'm saying about the toolbox. They get it. Like, you're just helping these kids to know that when those hard conversations come up, because they do come up, they know what to do with it. You know, I've got a first grader who comes home and they're like, somebody told me Jesus isn't real. And I'm like, wow, what'd you do about that? And he said, well, you know, I told him about in the Bible when this happened and that happened. And I'm like, there you go. You knew what to do. You got this. They come up more than we think they do. More and more hard situations are coming up, and our kids need to know how to handle those. So that is so that the teachers know how to feed into that. You'll see that a lot of these goals mirror the goals that we have for our church, and that's because our Three Trails Kids is not childcare. Our Three Trails Kids is doing the same things we're doing in here, just miniaturized a little bit. Just brought down to a level that they understand, because they are disciples making disciples in their community right now. Not when they grow up, but right now.
I absolutely love that. And this is the thing. Our kids are going to be in opportunities that we have never been a part of. And here's the thing. We're missionaries to our kids' generation. They're not. They're from there. And they get it. And they get the culture. And they get all that. So, man, no, it's the best investment is to get those kids to live it out. Courtney, why don't you come up here? And I'd love to hear how he is leading and how God is leading our Three Trails youth. Do you need a... Okay.
I know. What? He turned it off. Normally Chris gets it in the back. So again, I'm Courtney. They've told me that if I talk more than 5 minutes, that there's going to be a hook that comes out and takes me off. So I will try to make this quick. Ultimately, I was reading an article this week from USA Today, and it talked about how teens today feel lonely. When we think about it, when I was a kid, I didn't have a cell phone, didn't know anybody that had cell phones. They were the little brick phones that literally you had to carry across. Today, every kid in my group, or almost every kid, has a cell phone. In my fifth grade class, I would say 70% of my kids have cell phones. They have more contact with the world. They have more contact, meaning that they can reach out to people who don't even live in the same city as they do. But yet and still, kids say that they feel lonely and they're isolated. And so when as I am looking at my youth group, last year we focused a lot on basically what it meant to be a disciple. What does that mean? You know, how do we live on mission? Well, this year we're looking at how do we build community with it as we're living on mission. Ultimately, I never want any student that walks into my youth group ever to say, you know what, I feel isolated. No one loved me. I walked in and I felt judged because I looked different, acted different, thought different. And so ultimately, for me, we're building community. As I look at our youth group, I am looking to say, okay, how do we make sure that we're reaching students who live in this area? Right now, we're probably about 50-50, meaning that about half my students live in the community, about half of us don't. And so ultimately, as I said earlier, my students are going to talk to people that I will never have the opportunity to touch. And so ultimately, I'm expecting them not to wait till they're 18, till they're in college, till they're adults to start sharing the gospel. Every week I talk to one of my students and I hear great stories about how they're touching their community, how they're building. And it's amazing. And that goes from my introverts to my ones that are super passionate and exciting. And so my goals for this year is one, go on an international mission trip. Currently, we are planning, we're talking about going to Mexico this summer in July. It'll be for a junior, you have to be a junior now or older, so there'll be some young adults there. And just so working with the deaf community down there, so super excited with that. Second, youth group is made up of majority of South Kansas City students. So that means that we're reaching our community here. That means that, kids are bringing their friends. That means that their friends feel comfortable enough to come back and stay and hang out. We had our Christmas party recently, and I would say probably about 30% of the kids who were there weren't kids that normally come. That's huge. To me, that means that our students feel comfortable enough and that they feel comfortable enough in the group that they can invite their friends. And so we want to continue to build upon that. Ultimately, I want to bring on two more adult leaders. As we're looking forward to next year, our group's going to grow. Our junior high group's is almost going to double. And so I need leaders. And so what that means is that I got to have leaders that are going to be passionate about students because, you know, and churches I've been in the past, like they've thought, oh, youth ministry is just a place where you throw somebody who thinks that they want to do ministry. Not my group. You got to come ready for a passion. You got to be willing to get dirty with kids. That means you got to love them wherever they're at. And really, I'll be honest, I look at some of our kids, and I know some of the junk that they're dealing with, and my heart breaks for them. And I need leaders that are going to break, that their heart's going to break for them too. And they're willing. That means praying. That means if you got to get up at 3:00 in the morning to take a phone call to come down, hey, we're coming. So I'll move on. Number four. No, not right now. number four, training. Basically, I want my leaders to come in and basically get some training in what it looks like to grow. So I know when I was young and I was doing youth ministry, I had no clue, zero idea of what it was like for a middle school kid to grow up and what that looked like. I was a middle school kid, but I didn't know what it meant. And so basically this year we're going to do some training for our leadership, to basically be able to do that. And then a really big one for us this year is as our junior high group is growing, and as our high school grows, I'm going to do at least one event where our junior high and high school aren't together. So basically, junior hires have their own thing, high schoolers have their own thing. And so we'll probably try to do that in the summer. So those are my goals. And ultimately, as a youth ministry, we're here to partner with parents. Don't ever want any parent to ever think that it's the Courtney show, because it's not. It's God's show, and ultimately, I have them for about 52 weeks a year, or 52 hours a year, 60 hours at the most, and so my goal is to, again, partner with parents.
Don, come on up. Now, I just want to reiterate that. Man, we have some awesome teenagers and young adults. And I cannot wait to see how God uses them. It's not just about, oh, when you get to a certain age. God wants you now, and I can't wait to see how he's going to use you.
Check. Amen. First of all, I'd like to thank Terry and Blake and Terry, however you want to say it, for the opportunity to come and share with you today. Just to kind of talk a little bit about the worship ministry, you know, when Terry and I and Blake first talked about me coming to be a part of this ministry and be a part of what we wanted to do, you know, one of the things they asked me was kind of like, I had shared with them my background and things that I had done. But one of the things I wanted to share with them is how I perceive worship and what I believe worship does for a service and how it fits into the worship experience. And one of the things that I share with them is that, you know, in all of my years of doing praise and worship and every platform that I've been on, some foundational things, or one of the foundational things that I really hold close, is the role that worship plays in service. And for me, it's really about plowing the ground of people's hearts so that the seed can come forth. So for me, worship is not about how we look. It's not as much about how we sound. It's not about how it makes you feel as much as it is about getting you in the right spot so that when the word of God comes, which is the seed, falls into the good ground and that it takes root and that in due season it will bring forth a harvest. So that's really kind of the foundation of what we are. So when you look at our goals and we talk about sharing music that is spiritually based and supports, well, first of all, let's talk about the vision. The vision is to praise and worship God, praise and worship our Lord in the beauty of holiness. Now, you'll notice that our vision is a little different from all the other visions. So I want to make the connection for you just in case you don't see the dots. Everybody else's vision talks about disciples making disciples. Amen? Y'all saw that, right? So how does praise and worshiping God, our Lord, in the beauty of holiness fits into that? If you are disciples making disciples, one of the things that you have to do in order to make disciples is that you have to live a life that is worthy of somebody wanting to be discipled by you. I don't know about you, but I'm the type of person that I'm not going to follow anybody that I don't feel that can lead me anywhere. Maybe you are. I'm not. So when I'm following, it's the reason I'm following is because I believe that the person or the people that I'm following have the ability and have the vision to lead me somewhere that I want to go and that I have not been myself. So when we start talking about praising and worshiping God in the beauty of holiness, in order for us to do that and to become that, that's to become a vision or a picture of something that someone will want to follow or be discipled by, we have to live a life that's worthy of that. And that life is called holiness. Now, like I said before doing worship, I'm not perfect. I don't claim to be perfect. I don't ever try to put on a facade that I am. But I am striving to live a life that is holy. Amen? And if you have been around me for any amount of time, you'll see that the person I was 20 years ago is not the person that I am today. If you was around me 10 years ago, the person I was 10 years ago is not the person I am today. And hopefully, prayerfully, if we're together for another 20 years, the person I am in 2020, you'll see that I've changed and grown and I'm not that person in 2040. Amen? So that's what we're talking about in the beauty of holiness. It's all about striving for that goal and that lifestyle that God has called us to. And he's called all of us, regardless of what ministry you're a part of, he's called us to holiness. He's called us to live a life that is pure and that is clean and that represents him. Amen? That's what we talk about when we talk about being a visible representation of an invisible God. So, number one, sharing music that is spiritually based and supports our foundation. So when we share music, we don't just share music because it has a good beat. We want to share music that supports what the Word of God says. Now, when we say support what the Word of God says, that does not mean that every song we're going to sing is going to be a verbatim scripture. Amen? When we sing the song, every praise is to our God, every word of worship is to our God. Every praise is to our God. Now, if you go and you search a Bible app, you will not find those words in Scripture, but they are scripturally based because God created us to praise and worship him. If you go back and you read your Bible, you'll see in Genesis where there's a conversation and God talks about how he created us as a lesser being than the angels. And the reason that we were created was for the purpose of praise and worship. So that's what we mean. We want to be, number two, we want to be inclusive of multiple genres of music. I believe that music is the most universal language that there is. I don't care if you're black, white, green, polka dot, brown, whatever ethnic background you come from, whatever age group you're in, all of us can close our eyes and at some point we can think of a song that takes us back to a place or a point in our life where we're like, oh yeah, you know, I remember that. Amen? Sometimes I'm riding down the street now and I'm listening to the radio and a song will come on and I'll be like, oh, that's my cut right there. You know, that's what music does for us. So that's why we want to make sure that we always do music that reminds us as a community that we're connected and that takes us somewhere. We want to be inclusive of children, youth, and adults. So you've seen that in the fact that we didn't get a chance to do the Christmas thing that we plan to do, but you're going to see more and more that we're going to incorporate our children. And you've already seen us do some things with our youth before. We're going to bring more of that on, and obviously we're already doing adults. We want to make sure that everybody that's a part of our church, every age group, feels that they're included. We don't want anyone to feel excluded. That means that we, as adults have to be tolerant. Say tolerant. Because sometimes, you know, we kind of get stuck in our ways and we get used to the music we like. And sometimes we don't really want to support other things that's not what we like. But since we are a family, and in families, not everybody always agree, but at the end of it, blood is always thicker than water. Amen? We always support each other. So we want to make sure that as we get ready to bring forth our children and bring forth our youth, we want to support them. Because what the youth listen to doesn't sound like the things that I necessarily listen to on a daily basis. But I understand that it's important for me to get into a place that allows them an avenue to express the God that they serve. Amen? And the last one we have is being a ministry that helps people grow spiritually, not just musically. I think even though this is the last one, this is probably one that is the most important to me. Because when we understand that our role is not just to grow people musically, I'm not here trying to teach you syncopations. I'm not trying to teach you what a crescendo is. I'm not here to give you a music lesson on what music is. I don't care if you know the difference between a treble clef and a bass clef. It doesn't matter to me. What is important to me, though, is that as we sing and as we give lyrical guidance, the music that we share helps you grow spiritually. What do I mean by that? Sometimes I talk about the fact, me personally, right now, I'm dealing with a medical issue, my own personal struggle. So when I'm singing and I'm talking about God being a healer, I'm encouraging myself as much as I'm encouraging you. So when Paul talks about sometimes you have to encourage yourself in the Lord, this is the thing that we have to be a transparent example of. And we have to do things through our music that helps people grow spiritually, because it's our spirit man that's going to live on beyond today. Amen. When God created us, he created us as a spirit. He didn't create us as male and female. He created us as spirit first. And we have a spirit that when this tent dies, it's going to go back in the ground. Our soul, which is our mind, our will, our emotions, our intellect, is going somewhere else. But our spirit is going to live on with the Lord. So that's why we want to grow spiritually. Amen? Amen.
Kevin, you can come on up. And you guys can see our vision for outreach. And so I just want to, as you read that, Kevin, that's a long, we came up with a really long mission statement, vision statement there. Can you basically break it down? What are we trying to accomplish as an outreach ministry of a church?
Basically, we're wanting to get everybody here the tools they need so they can be on mission in their areas. People that you have a chance to meet with, whether it's at work or in your neighborhoods or where you're out and about, that you can be involved in the community and make disciples in that area. So we want to give you opportunities to do that here so you can go do it out in the community.
And you see that is, and it's really important. We want people to understand that when we do an outreach, you can go to a church that has literally an outreach on every day of the week. Well, here's the problem. If you're at church every day of the week, where are you interacting with lost people, right? If you're always here, you're not out there. And so what we want to do is when we do the Christmas offering, we did that to see, man, I can do this. And just a great example of that is that Cody was like, man, I got a job and I can do that. And I can raise money for that. And that was a huge testimony. He can speak to the people that gave money to that. There's witnessing. We were able to witness to the school and to the family that got it. So that's why we do those type of things, is to set the example. And then lastly, what we like to do is that when people hear Three Trails Community, they don't go, oh, that's the church that does this. We want them to be like, oh, that's that church. That's the church that cleans up the trash. Or that's the church that provides childcare for the school. That's the church that does this and does this and does that. We want to continue to build the name of Christ and to build your reputation so that when people find out that you go to our church, they don't go, oh, sorry. Sorry you go to that church. We want it to be a positive thing. Kevin, what are some of the things, you guys can look at the goals. What are some things that people can do to right now get involved with our outreach ministry?
Well, like Courtney was talking about, we're planning this mission trip to Comis Manos, so that'd be a great opportunity for you guys if somebody was able to do that. And if you can't go, you could support someone else to go is another way that you could still help.
And it's like a missions trip for under $500, like $500 to $600.
$500 or $600, and that includes your food, the lodging, just everything completely. And it'll probably be less than that, but very, very affordable. And go down and just see how another culture lives, and the fact that the deaf down there are just kind of cast aside. It's really sad. Coming up in spring break, we're going to have another church come up and help us out with our with a block party that we're partnering with the school, as well as helping with our food pantry. So, and the food pantry is another way. Most of us here in the room have helped at least once or twice, but we do it every month, and we feed 300 to 500 people. So that's a way you can get involved here in the community. There's several of us here that come up and are a center friend. I read to a third grade class. I know Linda helps, Blake, and that's a way you can do. You have to go through a background check, but it's really neat when you come in and the third graders are saying, Mr. Kevin, I miss you. It's really cool.
That's awesome. And here's the biggest thing. If you don't get plugged into these events or the different things we serve, that's okay. Because we want you just to be encouraged to find your mission. So don't feel bad like, oh, I didn't do this or I didn't do that. It's not for guilt. It's this is how we can serve. But man, God has you exactly where you are. Just ask yourself, are you following in those footsteps? Kevin, thank you so much. At this time, I know we're running just a little long, but we wanted to make sure.
Sorry about that.
But we wanted to make sure that you guys heard from everyone.
I'm sorry.
You had one job. There we go. I'm just going to kind of stay over here. You stay over there. And I'm going to sit down in a minute. So we want you guys to hear from our ministry leads, just to see the passion that God has for them, but also go, I know where our church is going for the next year. And also as a church, we always want to be transparent financially. We never want to be a church that you guys go, well, where does the money go? What happened with that? Because you know what's sad is every time you hear someone as a pastor, they step down or they leave somewhere, people usually ask, okay, where did they embezzle or who were they sleeping with?
Yeah.
And we never want that to be a part of our church where something bad like that happens. And so we have put things in place. And one of those things financially is we have a lot of things in place where embezzlement would be impossible to ever happen in our church. And we believe that this is a sacrifice that you guys are giving to the Lord. And we're going to have to answer for that one day. This is not my money through Trails' money. This is God's money. And I don't know about you, but that's a little scary. So with that, go ahead and tell them how you're spending God's money, Terry.
Oh, yeah. Okay, the fun part. All right, so it's pretty basic, pretty self-explanatory, and then we will open it up for some questions. But basically, our monthly tithe on average is $6,600 a month. That total does not include the month of December, and that does not include financial gifts. And just so you know, as a routine, with churches, usually December is quite a big month because people give at the end of the year and things like that. So I didn't want to put a total on there because we didn't have it all put together quite yet. But so on average, it's around $6,600. Ministry partners that give to us, about $2,300. And something else that I think is really important for you guys to know is that we as a church, we just don't talk about it. We are about it. So we believe that the Bible asks you to tithe. So as a church, we also tithe. We tithe 10% of everything that we have coming in every month. We give 6% to the Southern Baptist, 1% to Blue River Kansas City Association, 1% to the Missouri BBFI, and 2% to the Independent Mission Partners. So you don't have to feel like we're just taking everything and we don't do what we say we believe. We actually act that out as well. And then here are our financial goals. And guys, I know this can seem intimidating, but it's kind of like, let me run through these. We want to have an average tithe of over $16,000 a month. We'll be able to cover the following monthly expenses: both of our salaries, Social React, our rent for this building, and then $500 budget for the ministry. And then our goal is to keep $50,000 in our account at all times. I know when you look at these numbers, because when I look at these, I got to look at these numbers all the time. And then I have to present them to you. And it's kind of like, ugh. But when I thought about how I would say this to you guys, it's like Matthew 25. You remember the example of the talent? Where God, you know, Jesus is talking about, hey, you know, there's this businessman, and he gives one guy five talents. He gives one guy two talents. He gives one guy one talent. And the one with the five goes out, and he makes five more. And the one with the two goes out, and he makes two more. And the one with the one, he buried it. And then when the dude come back to get his money, he was like, you know, the one guy comes up and says, hey, I made five more, so here's 10. And the owner, hey, the businessman, great job. You know what? I'm going to make you responsible for much, much more. The one with two does the same thing. But then the one with the one sees the businessman, and he's like, hey, man, I knew that you were really frugal. I know you're all about, you know, your business. And da-da. So I buried yours. Here's the one. And the owner was like, shame on you. You could have at least put that money in the bank and gained interest on it. Here's where we're at right now. God gave us five talents. He literally put us at Martin City Baptist where we didn't have to pay red cent. It allotted us an opportunity to save up money so that we could push forward eventually. Now, we can keep doing that. We could go to Martin City, meet in the afternoon, and keep saving money. But what are we doing? We're not living up to what we say we are, and that's disciples making disciples in our community. We can hold on to our money and go, hey, we're not going to spend anything till we get $500,000, and then we're going to go forward. We talked about the Social React. Social React is very expensive, but it's very effective. There are so many churches dying right now because they think they want to do it their way, and their way has always worked, but it's not working anymore. How many of y'all, just raise your hands if you used social media in the last week. Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat. That's all this is. The other part is, and I'll let Blake speak on this, but for both of us to be, if you want to add, but for both of us to be pastors here, typically you wouldn't bring two pastors on with such a small church. But in our community, we're very diverse. So when Blake goes in somewhere and says, hello, my name is Blake, and I'm a pastor, and we're a very diverse church, the feeling for, let's say he's in a room with a bunch of people that don't look like him, that I don't know how well that
my
goes
best friend's
over.
Black. I know it's like.
Exactly.
Yeah, we can walk in, and I wanted to come in at the end as we're going to do questions, too, because I want to leave Terry to the wolves if you guys get a little antsy here.
Thank you.
But it is, so I want to speak into that is, yes, we can hold on to our money. And honestly, as a church planner, we're at a place right now where my salary is completely covered, and I get to sit back and go, oh, this is awesome. But I believe as a church, it makes more sense as we walk into a community together. Most churches don't have it. They're either white or they're black, but they're never both. And so we can talk about it, but now we can show it. And then with the social media, to me, that is so important. We've prayed about these things. But in our culture right now, the most effective way of reaching people is social media. And I've talked about this before. For the last 6 years, I've been gone by Block A because of YouTube video. And a lot of you are like, what YouTube video? And the other one, you're snickering. YouTube and these things are the next generation. They don't watch TV. I'll be hanging out with Blake and be like, you know, this web thing and this web thing and this. I'm like, what are you talking about? And Snapchat this and this. And I'm like, I don't get it. But here's the thing. If I don't get it, I don't get to reach the next generation. So we're going to make sure that we're investing a lot in that. And he didn't say this, but right now we have over $100,000 in savings. And the way we do it is we have a checking account. And right now it's around
$15,000.
And so we use that to pay bills and to do that type of stuff. But what's really cool is that in this past year, we were able to bring on Terry to 40%. We started paying rent here, and we didn't ever get into our savings. And so, I mean, that's huge as a church plant. Not only were we able to save, But I feel like the more we have stepped out in faith, the more God has provided. I mean, out of the blue, checks have come in that we didn't even know, or people that we weren't expecting to give money. And so we know moving forward, it is a little scary to go, man, $16,000 to meet our bills and this and that. And we also want you to know as a church, we have faith that we can get there.
Amen.
But we also want you to know as a leadership team that if we have to make some hard decisions, like one of we start going back and we have side jobs, or we have to cut Social React, or we have to find a different place for rent, or we got to trim budget, we are willing to do that to move this forward. But we're hoping that we have over 2 years really in savings to keep moving forward at this pace. But we're hoping that God would open the doors, because I feel like if we just sit on it, what are we sitting on?
Do we believe? Do we truly believe in the sovereign God that we talk about all the time? If we're like, hey, well, no, well, let's hover. We're acting in faith.
So this is a year that all chips are in. If it doesn't go well, we're not sunk. We're not oh. But this is a year that we're saying by faith we're moving forward.
Because we have our all. I mean, basically, you guys are our leaders. Typically, about 200 members allows a church to sustain itself. So we want to. Now listen again. When we talk about money. It allows us to touch these people for Jesus. It is not about my pay. I've been cutting hair for how long, and we've been doing this for 4 years. I'll go back and cut hair. But in order for us to keep the momentum up, in order for us to keep reaching our community, we want to get folks in here in order for us to keep doing that. So we kind of
we've
see ourselves
hearing around 100. So that's we're asking God to double us, and we just we're not, and you know us, we're not about numbers. But we want you to know, what can we be praying for? What can we be shooting for? My goal as a pastor is more that you guys are making disciples. But at the end of the day, too, healthy things grow. We'd like to see growth. We'd like to see that. So that's kind of where we're at for this year. Is there any questions? And if there's a lot, we could meet afterwards. But go ahead, Tamara.
Yes, can you get her? Is there a mic back there? Will you use that mic? I can't hear you.
The money that we're wanting to raise and save and use for the Red Bridge.
Yeah, we raised over $200 for that.
I can't think of what that word is, though. The same the church has one, too, for like if somebody gets it.
Benevolence?
Need.
Yes.
That's it.
Yeah.
Is that?
It's earmarked. $500
seems a little low if you're adding all that in there.
You said what?
$500 seems a little low. Are you counting that?
So that ministry budget is monthly. So that $200 is a separate thing. That's what offering was given. The ministry budget is donuts for youth or curriculum or all the stuff back in the kids or sound equipment. That's what that $500 is. And so we actually had all of our ministry teams make budgets, think through it. They were extremely wise and frugal. And so that's what kind of it comes up with.
And that... Those monies are earmarked. Those monies are there and earmarked. So you don't have to worry about, like, we have $100,000, but nobody earmarked that $500 and that $200 and it's gone. It's earmarked. It won't be. It's utilized for that. Yes, Louisa.
I have two questions. The 2% for the independent mission partners.
Yes.
Who are they?
So we have two missionaries, and this year we're going to be doing a better job of communicating that. We have a missionary in Belgium. His name is Eric Zander, that we support him.
Which will be coming to speak with us.
Yeah, in fact, in February, he's going to be doing one of our services, so which will be awesome.
And then
Phil and Val Long are missionaries to Madagascar. Those are our two for now. And so our goal is, as we grow, we'll be able to add more partners. But really, our passion for missions outreach is to have relationships with those missionaries. So it's not just, yeah, we give so much to this. It's we know their name. We know what they're going through. We're partners.
Potentially take a mission trip to see them.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, my second question is, it might be harder to explain, but for the Southern Baptist, why 6%?
That's actually really easy. So the Southern Baptists ask that as a church planner that you do that. That's kind of the baseline is 6%, and it may sound a little high, but that goes to all their church planning stuff. that goes to international missions. And so by giving that 6%, it allows future church planners, it allows for us to be a part of really the International Mission Board that sends out hundreds of missionaries each year. So that's why it's really what they ask. And as a team, and that's why we are a church planter. And so I have one more year as a church planter, and we'll ask as a team, do we want to stay at 6%? Do we want to go to 3%? Do we want to go to 2%? But I'll tell you right now, the Southern Baptist, because people ask what type of church we are. We're not Southern Baptist. We're biblical.
Amen.
We partner with people, and there's a lot of good biblical things in the Southern Baptist, so we partner with them. And they have done some stuff. They are extremely organized. And so because of that, our missions money is able to really touch the world through partnering with them.
And they've helped us. We're really loving on them, loving us. And they
gave $10,000 for this,
yeah,
for our setup and sound equipment and things like that.
Yeah.
All right, any more? All right. Well, won't we pray, ask God to bless this vision? Thank you, guys. I know we ran a little long, but we feel like it's important that we're on the same page. Father, Lord, we come to you. And we know that your word says that we plan, but at the end of the day, it's about you. And God, you know that what we're asking as a church. God, you know what we need financially. You know what we need numerically. But I pray more than anything that the people who live in this community will know that there is a God who loves them. That the families who are struggling, the marriages that are struggling, the people who are being abused and hurt, that they will know that there's a loving God that loves them because you sent your people to love on them. God, we love you. We pray that you will bless us. God, we look towards what will happen this next year because you are faithful and the people that you will bring and the stories and lives that you will change. God, and in your son's name, amen.